welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast. We are celebrating another tremendous victory in the world of independent wrestling, bleeding into the world of WWE professional big-time theater wrestling. Let's get right into it. Let me introduce my guest on the show. Every week we have a comedian on the show who loves wrestling, and this week is no exception. Welcome back to the show from the podcast You Should Love Wrestling, which is a dope podcast I'm going to be on. We're going to be recording this weekend. Mr. Nick Ligger, how are you?
Oh, good to be back, sir. I'm glad to be back here. Last time I was here, I think we were just about to have the brand extension.
Yeah.
And now I'm here and we've had it, and things are either terrible or they're great.
Things are interesting is what they are.
They are.
Yeah. But before we get into all the hotness.
Yep.
And also, remember to rate and subscribe. Come on. Do I have to say this every time?
Do it, guys.
Give me 5 stars because I deserve it. I'm great.
Open up your iTunes.
Yeah, open up your iTunes. Just press 5 stars. Don't be a jerk. Anyway, before we get into the hot action, the biggest piece of news, we're going to kick it off.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited.
This is going to lead us into that. We're going to do the new segment on the show that I've been doing, which is called What Are You Wearing?
I love a podcast that's like, all right, you know, fuck all. Let's just kick it off. With a segment.
Kick it off with a
new
goof.
New segment.
Kick it off with a goof.
Do it.
Well, this is the second time we're doing this segment. We tested the waters with it, and the testing has been off the chains. People love it. They're clamoring for this goof, and I'm going to give it to them again. It's called What Are You Wearing? So this is where you treat me like a big A-list Miz.
A Hollywood
star.
A-lister.
Yeah, Hollywood A-lister star. And then I'm walking the red carpet, and you want to know what I'm wearing. And what I'm wearing is a professional wrestling T-shirt.
Yes.
And then I'm going to tell you what I'm wearing.
Oh, okay. Even though I can see
what you're wearing.
And hypothetically, I would have a TV show on E, and the people watching at home would know what you're wearing.
Yeah. You're like a nice Joan Rivers.
Got it.
Okay?
Oh, okay. All right, got it.
Well, actually, you choose your own. Choose your own kayfabe.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
All right.
So you could choose, you know, maybe you're heel. I don't know. I don't know. All right. So I'm walking.
We're here on the red car. Is that Dan Black? Dan.
Oh, yeah, it's me.
Dan, come over here, please. Welcome. Hi, nice to see you.
Hold on, let me ask my publicist. Do I have enough time to go over? Okay, I do.
Good. I don't know who I am right now. I think I'm Tim Gunn.
Tim Gunn.
I can't figure it out. Badass Tim Gunn.
Badass Timmy Gunn.
Badass Tim Gunn. Dan, I have to know, who are you wearing?
Oh, me?
Yes.
Right now? Right now I'm wearing an official WWE Kevin Owens, the new second ever Universal Champion. I'm wearing a Kevin Owens T-shirt. Specifically, I'm wearing the Kevin Owens T-shirt that was from the first Cena match. Kevin Owens Cena from, I believe, Money in the Bank.
It's kind of a parody shirt.
It's a parody of a Cena shirt.
Uh-huh.
And it's this Kevin Owens. It says, fight, Owens, fight.
Fight, Owens, fight.
Kind of mocking the hustle, loyalty, respect.
Now, is that cotton?
This is 100% cotton. You can get it on. It was a special edition T-shirt. You can get it on WWEshop.com for, I believe, $24.99.
Wow.
Yes. All right. I gotta go, Tim Gunn.
Oh, Jennifer Lawrence just walked over anyway. Fuck you. We don't care anymore. Jennifer!
Oh, my God.
Jennifer!
Jennifer Lawrence is wearing a Kevin Owens shirt as well.
That's so weird.
NXT KO tape.
Also wearing duct tape shirt.
Anyway, cool. That segment's over. It was a hit again.
That's A+.
The people loved it.
I hear cheering outside.
Yeah. Ziggy Engineer, what's the feedback you're getting on the computer right now?
The computer loves it. I'm like nothing but thumbs up across the board.
We go by the computer.
Yeah.
This is like War Games. Everything revolves around the
computer. There's a bunch of cards moving around on the computer screen like you just won solitaire. The computer is so happy.
All right. So, Kevin Owens.
Oh.
I'm
so happy.
That was a real sign.
Oh.
That was a real pleasure sign.
It feels great, doesn't it? Oh, my God.
I mean, Kevin Owens is the WWE Universal Champion. You know, it's amazing. I mean, Kevin Owens is the man.
I remember Kevin Steen, as we all do, seeing Kevin Steen from years ago. And I saw him at PWG, and I'm like, man, that guy is fucking special.
Yeah.
And he's so charismatic and so entertaining and so athletic and so different. And you don't think so much of like, well, when he's the WWE, you don't think about it's whatever, the indie guys, they'll do what they do. And man, just to see him be on the top of the fucking mountain. And I mean, that is their, even though the world champion is the world championship, I guess that's their new flagship championship now. That's the top belt.
Yeah, and we'll get into the belt in a little bit, because I think the thing I want to say about the belts will derail us entirely. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, did you think he was going to win? Did any part of you believe that he could win?
You mean like before, during, like when once we knew the match was a fatal four-way elimination?
Yeah, when the match was announced on Raw the previous week.
There was a part of me that I thought he would, and only because I thought... Since they were planning on putting the belt on Rollins, on Finn Balor, and they did,
right?
I was thinking they could do the safe bet and put it on one of the two Shield guys. Which, you know, if it was on Rollins, it would be fine, but it would just be more of the same. It wouldn't be a fresh story. And I'm thinking Cass is too new. He's great, and you know they're going to push him down the line, but he's got a good thing going with Enzo right now. So it's like this is just a good rub for him to be in the match. So I'm thinking there was a part of me going like, what if they're going to follow a similar trajectory, and put it on somebody completely new like Owen. So there was a part of me thinking, okay.
Yeah, I mean, here's the good thing and the bad thing, if you have to put it that way, is like, I did think it was possible for Kevin Owens to win. When he won, I wasn't like, oh my God, Kevin Owens won. I was more surprised by the fashion he won than anything, which we'll get into.
Yeah, the return of Triple H was far more
So in that way, it's like, surprising. Oh, okay, I didn't feel like insanely shocked. Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But that comes from a really good place. And that comes from the fact that wrestling is very healthy in the way that, like, it feels like anything can happen now.
Yeah.
Right? Like, a lot of unpredictable shit has been going down in the way where you're like, oh, my eyes should be on the product now because literally I could miss something big.
Yeah, something good might actually happen instead of like, yeah, all right, we've been seeing this for 2 months.
Yeah, and also, you know, Kevin Owens is the guy who I knew would win the belt at some time.
Yep.
Definitely.
Sure, like, yeah, I thought so.
If CM Punk can win the belt, if Daniel Bryan can win the belt, then, like, it's possible. As much as we like to think...
The precedent has been set by those guys, yeah.
And then Finn won the belt, too. But Finn and Kevin Owens and Daniel Bryan are a different story. Finn is, like, a gorgeous man that with a chiseled physique.
Yeah, almost as good as mine.
Piercing blue eyes.
Yeah, right? Almost as blue as mine.
Yeah. You have super blue eyes.
It's crazy. It's like a pool of
honestly, I was going to say it's
fantasy.
Distracting. I feel a little off my game right now.
That's all right.
See, you're learning from the last episode.
I am.
Right? That you can pretend to be anything in audio form.
Yeah, because we don't have a show on E, because they can't see what you're wearing.
That's right.
Only Tim Gunn has that power.
Yeah, I know. I have a 29 waist and a 57 shoulders.
Yeah, so you do.
I don't even know if that's big. Is that big for shoulders?
I don't know anything about shoulders.
Yeah.
I know nothing about shoulders.
But yeah, so like...
I do have a 29 waist. That's a shoot.
That is a shoot. You definitely do have a 29.
Thank you. Thank you for noticing.
A 29 waist is the waist I had when I was in sixth grade.
I still have...
I remember that. I wore 29-30, and that was the only time that the waist was smaller than
my inseam's gotten longer. The waist has stayed... I've had the same waist since I was... I mean, look, I've got more beer in there now. There's far more padding. But I still wear a lot of the same clothes from high school. That's what I'm wearing. Well, I'm not actually wearing high school clothes.
To get this trim physique that you have.
Yeah.
Are you down at the Performance Center?
I am down there. I'm training with Terry Taylor. We're having a good time.
You've been flying down to Full Sail.
I don't like to make a big deal about it. But I just like to show up and be ripped.
Are you one of these guys who's just like skinny always?
I guess. I don't do a fucking thing.
Yeah.
It's really...
You're one of these guys who one day, you're going to look in the mirror and be like, oh, shit, I got fat.
Yeah, no, and it's going to happen. I feel like it's coming. I don't put in any work. It's really unfair. Not that I'm like, I'm super fit or anything.
Right.
But it's really unfair in that the garbage that I eat... I choose to eat and tell people that I choose to eat garbage. I'm like, oh, man, I fucking love trash. So it's just not fair, but it will catch up with me, and then when I do, I can get like a good, like, you know, Big Daddy V run or something.
That's right.
So.
Speaking of people who eat like garbage, let's get back to the champion.
Oh,
Kevin,
my God.
Kevin Owens. Yeah, so he's excited. So now it's like, all right, so that's exciting he won. Look, the way they opened up Raw with the four of them sitting there, I enjoyed that. I liked it better. When they were sitting on ladders that time, I didn't like it, but when they were sitting in chairs.
I kind of liked the ladder segment.
I liked it better than the segment of like, being like, it has to be Miz TV. Why can't they just be like, this is a segment that Corey Graves hosts in the ring, and that's how Raw opens
up. I'm loving Corey Graves, by the way.
I'm not.
I know you don't like him. And actually, I remember you mentioned this at, which, by the way, folks, we recently did a show here at the Upright Citizens Brigade in Los Angeles.
Yeah, the UCB SummerSlam Tag Team. Actually,
fun fucking night.
Next week, we're going to be releasing a couple sketches. Ooh. We're going to do a special bonus edition of the Comedians of Wrestling podcast. That's going to have some of the sketches came out. And it's going
to
be cool.
Ooh, I'm glad to hear that.
Just to get people jonesing for our Royal Rumble show.
But I believe, and that's going to be great too. Yeah. But I believe I did hear you, something about Corey Graves came up backstage, and I did hear you say, fuck that guy. So let's get into what you're not liking about Corey Graves.
Oh, my God.
Is it his hair?
Yeah, you know what? Kevin Owens wins the championship. We got to talk about Corey Graves.
Yeah.
You know what? I wouldn't say I dislike Corey Graves. I like to turn on my kayfabe and I enjoy Renee a lot more. Like
she's great.
Yeah, I think she's great. Like I don't know. He to me he's like a little blah. He's got that look. I like that he like looks a little different. That's okay. But like to me he's very. I can't even distinguish his voice on that announce team.
My beef
with that Raw announce team is I don't know who's speaking except for Cole.
Oh, right.
When JBL was there, I was like, oh, that's JBL. He's kind of, you know.
I love him, Michael.
Yeah.
Like, can't mistake that.
Exactly. I think that announce team's a little, like, blah, and I think Corey Graves, when they put him in there, I knew I was going to feel that way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, Byron is, like
he's blah also.
I know, he's like a pile of mulch.
Yeah, so what specifically do you like about Corey Graves? What am I not picking up on?
I think he's so good at healing. I think he may... Certainly the best heel announcer they've had since, like, peak Jerry Lawler. But I think he's honestly even more of a throwback to, like, Heenan. But with, like, a nice kind of modern take. Just, like, absolutely, like, unabashedly, when he picks that he's on a heel side, he like Eva Marie or anybody like that, he decides that he is so on their side.
Yeah.
And it's everything to him.
You know.
And he will shit on the play-by-play guy relentlessly, which I love.
You know, I'm not really, I'm a flawed man. I know I come off here as like Mr. Perfect. I come off here like a guy, like a, you know, you're picturing me and you're picturing Lex Luger with like,
oh my God, yeah.
With, you know, I'm the ladies him. Around him and the flares going and the mirrors. But I'm a flawed man. And you know what? I don't think I'm great at picking up on what's going on in the commentary. I'm very focused on the visuals
on the match,
when I'm watching wrestling. So I didn't even I didn't even notice Corey Graves as being the heel. Like,
oh,
he's so blah to me. I'm going to listen for it now. So that's why we have experts like Gligar on the show.
Hey, so, I mean, something as simple as his work in NXT, that's where he's really honed it in, too.
Yeah.
I mean, every 4 seconds, it's not that it gets old, but it's like, shut up, Tom. You know, like, every time, like, he picks his stance, and he's staunch about it, and he goes with it, and that's it. Anybody who doesn't agree with him is wrong.
It might be just, like, a little too subtle for me, you know? I'm used to, like, and what am I talking about? King. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
we
Jerry
all
Lawler. Like, those guys, like, they were big personalities.
Two very different
that.
Voices, two very
but
distinct
if
personalities.
If you're going to compare Corey Graves to Heenan, then I'm gonna pay attention. So anyway, let's get to Kevin Owens. He won. Let's get into the fashion.
Yeah.
That he won.
Mm-hmm.
Triple H interrupt. Triple H came out looking real good.
You could
just see it that he. And then I watched the video. Someone posted a video of him working out. He's been like hitting the gym.
Oh yeah,
hard. You saw him down at Full Sail, right?
Yeah, I see him all the time because I'm down at the Performance Center. Oh, by the way, HBK says hi. He's working there now.
Oh yeah. I saw that. Mm-hmm. I saw that because someone made a really mean post I saw about how old he's looking.
He's looking all gray. Yeah, I saw that. Pitts is
like,
bad
yo,
photo.
He's old. Whatever.
Yeah.
Like, he's looking old. He's old.
I bet he doesn't have a 29 waist.
I never understand when people pick on people for being old.
Yeah.
It's not like he's still in the ring acting like he's young.
How dare you age?
It's like, do you not realize you're going to get older?
Really?
Like, I fucking hate that. Like, we could compliment someone for, like, Triple H for his age. Looking great.
Yeah.
Like, that's cool. But at the same time, let's not knock other guys for looking terrible.
He's old. I mean, what do you expect? He's older.
I think ageism is going to be a big thing you know, how
it hasn't been up until this point.
I'm saying ageist, like being ageist.
Yeah, yeah.
When we're able to get to that, once racism is fixed.
Sure, we're getting there.
Right.
Oh, we're so close. We're so close.
Disintegrated.
Oh, we're almost there.
Once we lay the leg drop.
It's yeah.
Once we lay the smack down on homophobia. Once we drop the people's elbow.
Uh huh.
On.
Once we do a pop-up power bomb to homophobia and racism.
Is he done with the pop-up power bomb?
It seems like he hasn't been doing it as much lately.
Well,
I've been noticing that.
To a like a inverted TKO.
Yeah.
Did he use that as a finish one time?
I guess.
Yeah, so. Where it's like a ups, kind of has him in a torture rack and goes into like an F5 spin.
Which is like, cool. I like it.
Yeah, I dig it. I like it. He's very good at picking moves. Him and a couple other guys, they have like just all good moves.
Oh, yeah.
Samoa Joe, AJ Styles. These guys don't have one move that's bad.
No.
They don't have one. They just like, you know, remember like in the video games, you pick every single one of your moves for your moveset, like in Revenge? Like WCW
you
could
piece together, like, yeah, like your entire arsenal.
Yeah, WrestleMania 2000.
Yeah.
These guys are like, I feel like they do that so well. They pick a great arsenal of moves.
So many of these guys from the indies, which is crazy, they're now in the WWE, are like, for so long, like the last decade or even two, like all these guys in the indies have been honing all of these combo hybrid styles, and now all of those guys are like ending up in the WWE, which is kind of crazy, because now you're seeing, and again, people like Bryan and CM Punk really did open the door for guys like that to come in, which is fucking great.
Yeah, it's awesome. So Triple H, with the interrupt, he comes in.
Yeah.
So he takes out Roman Reigns, obviously, because it's like, oh, he's still mad about WrestleMania.
Yeah, sure.
And then he takes out Rollins. He has the swerve where it looks like he's going to take out Owens, takes out Rollins. I knew right away he was going after Rollins.
As soon as he got in the ring in between those two guys, I was feeling it.
Yeah.
And you could see it coming, but it was still
that swerve never works.
But it was still surprising in that he came back and all of this was actually happening. It's like, oh, they're really going to go for it. Like, is this going to be Rollins' full-blown face turn now? I mean, I don't know.
Right, so that's it. So Triple H gets in the face of Stephanie and Mick Foley, and I imagine he'll explain himself on the next Raw. But
hey, whatever they go with, A++. I still loved it. I fucking loved it.
What do you think Triple H is upset about? What do you think is fueling him? Next question, do you think Rollins is going full face? Answer those two questions.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, every time you think they're going to do something logical, they do like 9 out of 10, and the one thing that they don't do right, it really fucks everything up. But, I guess they could do a version of... It's not like he doesn't have power, because he's still the COO anyway. But he could be really butthurt about getting edged out of being in control of the day-to-day operations of Raw, I guess. Like, the authority isn't there anymore, so he's going to somehow take over the show and go against Stephanie, who's aligned with Mick Foley by using his guys, his NXT guys. I mean, that's at a glance through the window, that's what it kind of seems like it would be. Now, watch him do something completely different, and hopefully it'll be great. But, I mean, if that's what they go with, I think that's an okay story.
Yeah, as of now, it makes no sense, and I feel like... Odds are they're going to blow it. Odds are they're going to do something that makes no sense. But
what I said at least sounds logical. I don't think they'll go with that because it's logical.
And that would be like inner workings that we haven't seen. Actually, none of the GM stuff has made any sense. Like the Shane stuff. Like, it's very hard to follow all that stuff. Like, Shane, what's he got in the ring with Lesnar? Is Shane and Stephanie, are they mad at each other? Because then Stephanie got in the ring and was trying to defend Shane. You're like,
I know.
It's a little muddled.
It's
and then, like, Mick Foley, how does he play in there? He's just there.
Yeah, you know, Mick Foley's not really good or bad. He's kind of just there.
He's just there. He's just doing a job to promote his show. I don't really know. All that is a little bit cloudy, so Triple H coming in and trying to heal or face off something that's cloudy is going to be interesting. But if he is leading an invasion of NXT,
sure,
that will be dope.
That's what I'm saying,
because that'll be kayfabe shoot. Like, that's a shoot that Kevin Owens is one of his guys.
Yeah,
is shoot. Like, that's just
that's a fact. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So whereas Rollins is, I guess, technically one of his guys because he's an NXT guy, but you don't really think of him as an NXT guy at this point.
Yeah, not now.
Even because like even if you think of it like he's a Shield guy and like CM Punk's claim to be like the creator of the Shield.
I know, that was muddled too.
It's not credited to Triple H.
And to answer your other question about Rollins, do I think he's going to go full-blown face? He could. I don't know if they'll pull the trigger on
that. I think no, because I think the sweet spot for Rollins is that he's still going to be like, yo, the audience, you're a bunch of dummies. But they're cheering for him anyway, so they're just going to keep cheering for him. But he's not gonna come out and just be like, I love you guys now. He's going to stay. I think for a long, long time, they're going to keep him in the heel capacity. Because if he's working, he's working, and they need Rollins to work. Because they know he's the foundation of Raw now.
Well, the thing is what they had been trying to do is because Roman, they had kind of been trying to play Roman as like this tweener who would get cheered, and he just doesn't have it in him. He's sort of playing a tweener, but he's going to get booed.
Right.
As opposed to Rollins, who is really in between those roles and can still play a bad guy, but will get cheered anyway. Maybe kind of like Punk in a way. And I think if they tweak him just a little bit, I don't think he needs to be as shitheel weasel as he was. But at the same time, just tweak him a little bit so he gets cheers and the people cheer for him and they like him. They like him, but also he's still in between everything.
Yeah. I just think like why mess it because it works.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? But I don't know.
If we can't hear him laugh every week, what's the point?
Cool. So
he's still got to come out and say, ha-ha.
That is perfect. That is like this, ha-ha.
Yeah, it's great.
Did you notice in the opening segment that Reigns is the only guy who didn't speak?
Good.
It was like, oh, like they finally got that note.
Yeah.
Let's have him not speak.
Yeah, it was good. Fine.
Yeah, I know. But even he somehow like made that not exciting.
Yo.
Somehow his timing stuck on that also.
Why don't you shut your mouth before I come over there and make you shut it with my hand by taking your mouth and shutting it.
And he always tries to be
bleed
funny.
At.
He goes like, I'm not trying to do that. Like he does the thing where he's like, you know what I'm talking about? Like when he goes into like funny guy voice. I didn't do it. That was terrible.
Stephanie, whoa. I'm not trying to be a bad guy.
Yeah.
I'm just a good guy. I'm a good guy.
Shut up.
His dumb sarcastic voice. Yeah, cool. So let's. Man, we could talk about Raw forever, but now we got SmackDown. I got everything.
Yeah. Watched it last night. Yep.
Yeah. I think that even in Raw, if you think about it, the show, I was pretty bored by the whole show until the end. I was very much like.
There were a few good things in it. There was another good squash match, right?
Yeah, there's a couple of good things. There's a couple of things to talk about, but the thing I want to get into is
SmackDown's
Dean
been
Ambrose.
The better show. SmackDown's been the better show. I've been saying it since before the brand extension, if you recall. I've been saying SmackDown's the better show. I still think overall it is.
I think that SmackDown is the better show.
Yep.
But here's the thing. I agree. Mm-hmm. SmackDown's a better show, and we'll get into the Miz stuff.
Yep.
That stuff is the most interesting stuff happening in wrestling.
Yeah.
I guess Kevin Owens, you could argue. But I agree. SmackDown is the better show. Mm-hmm. To me, still feels like low rate. It looks great. I still feel like if just the layout, I watch Monday Night Raw, I watch Raw, I watch Kevin Owens win the title, and then I watch SmackDown, my brain's immediately like, this is the lower show. It's the day after.
But what can they do to change that?
I don't think there's anything they can do.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's like,
I feel like it's been ingrained in us somehow that we're the idiots. I don't know.
It's what we talked about before the extension was like, the one thing you can't do is have two shows that are the same show competing. Like, the way they are different is pretty minute. It's like, all right, one has a cold open, they have different belts, and they have different, you know, I don't know. But it's like, oh, it's all the same superstars. Just like, oh, you just got to watch another show. As opposed to when I watch Cruiserweight Classic. That like think of that experience. Or even when I watch NXT, I'm excited because I feel like I'm watching a different show. Almost a different genre. It's almost like I'm watching...
It's like a different company world entirely, almost. It's only tangentially related.
Some people do feel like that. They feel like that when they're watching Raw. I just feel like, oh, I'm watching another Raw.
When you watch SmackDown, you mean?
When I watch SmackDown, yeah. And I feel like I'm getting it the next day. I don't deserve it yet. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't deserve like another live.
I don't deserve this.
Yeah. Maybe it's because I'm battered or something, but
you're not a perfect
man. That joke's
a
bad taste.
You're not a perfect
a bad
human.
Taste. I take it back. Unless you liked it, then you can have it. But like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you're battered as in you're deep fried.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
I love a good batter.
I'm a little beer batter.
Yeah, you know I love saying? That shit.
Thank you.
Throw it on some fish.
Thank you for masking my misogyny.
I got it.
All right. So do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, yeah, completely. Here's my thing is I actually don't, I see what you mean. I get it. I can feel it. But I don't see it as a, I don't get second rate out of it.
Yeah.
I get different. And
that's great. That's what they want.
And even though, I know what you're saying, where the stakes and the stage, because of the way they present it and they talk about it and they make it out to be, Raw does feel like the bigger deal. So yeah. I understand, but I don't think that that makes SmackDown feel second rate. And maybe that, to me, is because I just think the production of the show, the setup, the way they're doing all of this pre-taped vignette stuff,
yeah.
the old school, like, promos where they film these guys where they're like when I get in the ring tonight and then they cut back to the match. It's like, I don't know, it's so old school and yeah. so different, and I think it's so much of a better show that I just don't care if it doesn't feel second rate to me. It just yeah. feels different, and because I think it's the better, more interesting wrestling show, I like it better regardless. So I don't really care.
All right, that's good. That's what they're going for. And I think that's popular opinion. That's how people feel. One thing, small thing about production they did that because I really want to say this. I had a moment of like, that was awesome. There's a clip of Neville. This is from Raw, obviously, but Neville, his entrance, where he runs down the ramp and the uh-huh. camera follows him slide into the ring and go up on the turnpost.
Yeah.
And the camera work, it's so good.
Yes.
I was like, that is exciting.
Some of this roaming and this high angle camera stuff they've been doing on both shows. Fucking phenomenal. It's
yeah.
great.
Why did it take them so long to do this?
I don't know.
But
that said, some of the camera work in the ring is still annoying. Yeah. They're still doing this zoom bullshit. I'm noticing it less, but
they zoom
still
on
do
finishes.
Lot, yeah, on the zoom and the hits, and it's a little annoying. And I noticed on, I think it was Raw, where they were missing every time somebody's about to strike. They cut over to somewhere else in the match. It's like, quit fucking cutting when a guy's just about to get hit in the face. Don't cut to the other side of the ring. I want to see.
They miss a lot of big spots.
They miss so much.
I was watching. My dad is a photographer, videographer, and he does like a lot of, you know, he does like parties. And that's like, you think about if you're filming a wedding or something, mm-hmm. you can miss stuff easy, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like wrestling misses things all the time. And
yeah,
it just shouldn't happen.
Another thing that makes SmackDown feel bigger to me is the coming up next match screens, where instead of like doing like sort of those very prepared special shoot photography type, like Rollins versus Reigns next, it's like just them looking at the camera.
Yeah.
I like that they're doing that sort of like they're getting like pictures of the guys or like angles, and they're kind of making them look in all different directions, like the big blue screen. It's like coming up next, we got, you know, American Alpha versus, you know, like the four-way tag team match or something. I like the way that they're setting up the graphics.
Yeah.
The background music's better. They're using like two different music cues for those. And there's one music cue they're using for those coming up next segments that like sounds really old school that I love.
Yeah.
It's like some squealing 80s guitar riff.
No,
it's like
cheesy, I like it.
And I love it.
I like it. I agree. SmackDown feels really cool. I get excited when I see it when there's like those two, like they have that like Star Wars beam that like comes in and like makes the logo. I dig it, and it's cool. Cruiserweight Classic has those animated stuff. They're doing a lot of really cool stuff.
Yeah,
but to keep the movie show going, here's what's ruining SmackDown for me.
Okay,
Dean Ambrose, guy stinks.
I know you don't like him.
Guy stinks. I'm just putting my foot down, just being like, that guy stinks.
I still like him. I still defend him. It's getting harder lately. It's getting harder.
And that's, you know what? I have a lot of friends who are big Ambrose marks. Okay. A lot of friends. I got 45 friends that are Ambrose marks. Okay. I have a lot of friends. I got a couple friends who are Ambrose marks. And listen, I'm exaggerating like, whoa. But like.
Yeah, he doesn't really have 45 friends. He's exaggerating.
And I feel like.
He has 46.
He's after the Stone Cold interview.
Yep.
The podcast. I think they're all like coming around. You know, they feel a little bit like, hey, they stood up for him. And I think after that, it was like, all right, you're right. He's not doing his, he could do better. And look,
I agree.
AJ Styles will win that title from him at Backlash.
He will win that title
because AJ Styles is doing work that is arguably the best wrestler in the company. I'm a big Seth Rollins mark, and if somebody says AJ Styles is better, I'm not even going to argue.
Right now, AJ Styles is the best.
AJ Styles is the best wrestler in WWE right now. He is so exciting.
And his character work is now pretty much caught up with that. Like, now that he's been able to just let loose and not be a face.
Yeah.
His heel work that he's doing right now, this whole, like, I'm wearing John Cena's headband thing, it's so funny.
And in-ring, the best wrestler.
He's such a clown right now, and it's wonderful. He's just an asshole. And his wrestling is off the fucking charts.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
Man, I can't even get over that I'm into AJ Styles. I hated him so much during the Attitude Era.
Really?
When he was like the TNA guy.
Yeah,
that stupid blue hood. I hated him.
Yeah. Well, he's somehow the Bieber haircut made him cooler.
Yeah, no,
he just kind of looked like a redneck goof.
He went to Japan.
Yeah.
And he
He met figured
with
it out.
The Kill Bill guru or whatever, and he just came out like...
Yeah, met with a Tori Hanzo.
Yeah, you got a Hanzo sword.
The mountains.
Yeah, but like... No, AJ Styles is so good. So he'll win that championship belt because he deserves it.
Dean Ambrose does not deserve it.
Dean Ambrose, he deserves to lose the belt and rethink some things.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, Ambrose is good and I like him, but I agree. It's getting harder to defend him. I feel like something, I agree that he's a little, he's disenfranchised, I get it. Like maybe the Brock thing didn't work out so well. His match with Ziggler at SummerSlam
felt
about 6 minutes too short.
It was terrible. You know,
there just wasn't a proper build.
His let's put it simple.
They were
as
having
possible.
A decent match, and then it ended.
His SummerSlam match with Ziggler was no good. Ziggler has almost no bad matches. Okay,
I agree.
Brock Lesnar, his match with Brock Lesnar is bad. Brock Lesnar, look, you know, bad matches, good matches. Brock
sure.
Lesnar always has matches that feel big time.
They feel big.
That was
big,
the only match I could think of in recent Brock Lesnar history that was not big.
You're not wrong.
So,
yeah, I know.
That's the thing. He needs to go back to the board. He needs to think of some new innovative moves.
Because
he really needs to like get back to the drawing board a little bit. Because the potential's there. I'm not saying right now he stinks. The potential's there. Dean Ambrose, when I saw him in the Shield,
he had much more fire in him back in the Shield. And it's like nobody's expecting him to go back to like CZW John Moxley crazy cut your fucking face open. But
no,
it's like
he doesn't need to do that, but
he
also
needs some fire in him again.
He also, in that Stone Cold podcast, just felt like a guy with a bad attitude also.
Yeah.
He felt like a guy who was not taking credit for his own. Look, as a comedian, I go in front of a crowd and like
you bomb.
And I bomb and then I go back and then I might say to my friends like, yeah, that crowd sucked. But when I go home at the end of the day, I blame myself.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, come on.
Right? And especially if it's a couple shows in a row. I'm like, that bit doesn't work or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like he's not doing that, and I don't blame him because they're on the road, and also everything they do is teamwork based or whatever.
And to be fair,
and
Austin,
it's written, they're handed promos to read.
And to be fair, Austin was trying to pry something out of him that he's not. I got that at first.
Well, I didn't like what Austin did. I said that.
Yeah. He was trying to pry. Like, come on, be goofy, be weird.
Yeah,
but you're crazy. And it's like, no, man, I'm just chill. So I mean, I get that he was not. He's not exactly what, but then once they dropped that facade, he was more entertaining and more honest, and I liked it.
Well,
he just needs to kick it into high gear.
That's a great segue, because what Austin did is never a good look. It's never a good look to be a retired wrestler and just shit on a guy who's currently holding a belt, which is what Daniel Bryan did to The Miz, and then Daniel Bryan apologized. Did you see that? That happened on Talking Smack, so
well,
it wasn't
even
on the air.
Well, first of all, the Talking Smack segment was amazing.
Yeah.
Was amazing.
But was it a shoot or was it?
I think it was a worked shoot that got a little truthier and heated than they both wanted to in the moment.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that was a worked shoot.
So yeah, but we're gonna answer this question definitively.
Sure.
In a little bit. Because surprise, we have Vincent Kennedy McMahon,
Vince
the chairman of the board, is gonna be coming in. And we're going to ask him.
Oh, my God.
We're going to get to the bottom of how much of the Daniel Bryan Miz debacle was a shoot and how much of it was kayfabe.
I can't wait to hear this.
Because we know it's a little blend of both, but maybe we don't know. But Vince is going
to
come in.
Good.
Anyway.
I can't wait to hear him clarify because he knows everything that's happening in his company.
Yeah.
Every possible nook and
cranny.
Of course,
he's
facet.
On top of everything.
Yeah, he knows it.
He's a workaholic.
It all runs through him.
But we'll get to him, so we'll hear from him.
Great.
But how do you, Nick Gligor?
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about the Daniel Bryan apology? And also, part of Daniel Bryan's apology, I just want to add this so you can respond to this, is that Daniel Bryan said that he said the company's not letting them in the ring with each other. And that was like, I was like, why is Daniel Bryan not out there in the ring? Why is Ziggler coming in?
Yeah.
And why do they always write so bad for Ziggler? Why does Ziggler have to come in?
They've been putting him in the most shitty positions.
And then they announce he's fighting for the IC belt. So he goes SummerSlam. Dean Ambrose has a terrible performance against Ziggler, and then he takes the punishment.
Okay, so here's the thing. The Talking Smack segment was incredible. I have been, ask anyone, I have been championing and saying forever, Miz is good. I've been saying this
for years. Out of my mouth on the Comedians of Wrestling podcast. If you want to know, you can go back and you can listen, rate 5 stars and subscribe.
Please do.
You can hear that I've been saying Miz is doing great work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has been. That's right. And I know, you were on board with him too. I've been saying it. He's been doing quiet work that's excellent for years.
Yeah.
And also, when he needs to jump up and do a big thing, he does a big thing.
Yeah.
He's been consistently good and has only gotten better. And people
and he has
like,
a good attitude. You can tell he's got a good attitude. Yeah. Right? I can tell Ambrose has a bad attitude.
Yeah, and people are like, oh, fucking Miz headlined WrestleMania. Good. If it pisses you off, good. Yeah. That guy worked hard, was on a reality show, took that, used it as a springboard to do what he really fucking wanted to do, got into the WWE, became a world champion, married Maryse, headlined fucking WrestleMania, retained the title.
He's failing up, baby.
Fuck off. Yeah. He's great. Yeah. He's failing so up, and good for him. Yeah. Fuck you if you don't like it.
No, he, the Miz is the man.
And then all of a sudden he comes out and he does this, this excellent promo, and all of a sudden... This is what we need. This, I love The Miz. Shut up. No, you didn't, and you don't. You do now.
Yeah.
You should have listened to me.
Was Daniel Bryan being a jerk, or did it help get Miz over? Did Miz finally get the attention he needed?
I don't really care if he whether it was planned or not, good, because that's what The Miz needed. The apology segment, stupid. They completely backtracked it. They shot this fucker to the moon. And then they were on their way to the moon, and somehow they crash landed on some shitty planet.
Why not like just ride that wave?
Yeah.
Why not have DB in the ring? Daniel Bryan said like he's not. They're like keeping them separate.
Right.
But I was like, why keep them separate? They're hot right now. They're not. They're both professional workers. They could both work it out to make it an angle. Be like Miz, come out. And be like, I challenge you at Backlash.
Yeah.
Miz, you come out. Challenge Daniel Bryan. Be like, come out of retirement. Who cares? We'll do it in the parking lot.
Right.
Me and you will do it in the parking lot if it's not sanctioned.
They could have worked something where he doesn't have to take bumps that he could have had a match. Now, that said...
No. I'm not saying Daniel Bryan should do it.
No,
Daniel Bryan should be like, I can't wrestle. So here, Ziggler in my stead.
Yeah, exactly.
Fine.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I know people are like, oh, they should do something where he doesn't have to get in the ring. Okay, yeah, I get that. They could probably fake it and he'd be fine. But they're not going to sanction that. They're not going to clear him. And that's fine. We don't want the guy to die. So I agree. Why all they had to do was say, here's my guy. It's Ziggler. They didn't do that. He just who wrote that he just comes out and inserts himself? And I feel bad for Ziggler because we all know how great he is.
Yeah.
And it's like he's starting.
Friend of the show.
Yeah. And they're starting to somehow write him into like just interrupting segments for no reason and like interjecting himself. And he doesn't need that.
He did the same thing with Triple H a while back to get Triple H over leading up to the Reigns match.
Yeah. Why are they just making him do that shit?
You have a guy who's a straight up stud.
Yeah.
Who the crowd loves.
Loves.
Probably has the most Twitter followers of anyone on the roster.
Yeah.
And like, they're like, oh, let's just use him as just a utility player.
Yeah.
Let's like treat him the same way as Kane.
And I get pissed off because I feel like now some of the audience isn't starting to react to him as hotly as they did.
Yeah.
And it's upsetting because it's like, no, it's not his fault. They're he's just doing what he's told. He's a company guy. He's getting written into these shit parts.
Yeah. So what do you think? So cool. Let's fly through a couple other things from Raw because we need at least some time for Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Well, we have to.
He's waiting in the he's starting to get agitated. He's out there in the hallway.
I can hear him
waiting.
Shaking.
I know. So let's fly through my notes here. Man, Cruiserweight Classic. There's too much to cover, man. I see it every week.
Jack Gallagher, the breakout star.
Who do you think wins the Cruiserweight Classic?
Well, you would have to think Sabre or Ibushi. I think we were all thinking that's going to be the final match. Now, I don't know.
I don't know because I think that Sabre didn't sign. He didn't sign.
According to what I'm hearing, I feel like Ibushi did.
You like Sabre Jr.?
He's really good live. He's really good live.
I saw him live at PWG last time.
He's good. His second match on the Cruiserweight Classic was far better than his first. His first was a little too under the radar for me.
I thought his second match was great.
It was very good. It was very good. I like Sabre.
Especially, I think that episode had like four matches, I believe, or three matches.
Yeah.
And it was like, within it, it felt different. Like, a lot of these are just becoming like flippity-doo-dah matches, which look, I'm a sucker for a flippity-doo-dah match, which is now a technical term. Add it to the dictionary. Add it to the jargon of the community of wrestling.
Put it on the wrestling professional wrestling talk Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Flippity doodah.
A flippity doodah match. I love it. I'll take that. But it's cool to watch Sabre Jr. do something that's very maybe not equally impressive to my eyes, but something that's impressive in a different way. And I love it, like the pageantry of some of his holds, where he'll like. Mm-hmm. Put his arms in like a corpse or like an Academy Award position. You know what I mean? And then he leans back, selling how painful his moves are. And also, I like that you never know how he's going to win because he's going to win from any hold.
But that's why I'm saying I think the breakout star of the Cruiserweight Classic, and I think he did that style better and far more entertaining, was Jack Gallagher.
Jack Gallagher was cool. He's
so
a little bit
of, good.
He's he was that drop kick he gave was so high.
Oh yeah,
it was so high. And then I love where he tied the guy up. It was funny. I mean,
I was so impressed with him.
Anyway, yeah, I think Kota Ibushi wins because he signed.
I think so too.
Because he signed and he's in NXT, I think he wins.
They're saying he's not signed. I think he is. Yeah. I think he is, and they're just working on it.
Somebody told me that Ricochet is also signed, but pretending he's not signed.
Yeah,
but he's also in Bola this weekend, so I don't understand how that works.
Yeah, he's in Bola, and we'll see what happens to Lucha. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so let's fly through some stuff. Small thing. I really liked Rollins saying that line. He was like, the only things that are certain is death, taxes, and Rollins wins every time.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, he always finds funny
he's
lines.
He's still great.
Yeah, he's so good. So this Paul Heyman, Stephanie segment, I don't really have much to say. It made no sense.
Yeah.
I didn't even understand what the point of that was.
Always glad to see Paul Heyman, but the segment was nothing.
He also came out being a jerk, but at the end of SummerSlam, he was like very apologetic for Lesnar, so there's no continuity there that he comes in as like a jerk. And then
yeah.
It was like, I'm sorry, but he wasn't sorry. It was like, well, and why is Stephanie so mad because he slammed Shane? It's like, I don't really know what they're going for here, and it has nothing to do with Triple H.
They always backtrack on this shit. Once again, it's like this weird, like, you get 80% of the way there, and then the end, it's like, why are you backtracking and making this inconsistent or fucking up the continuity or making people who shouldn't be apologizing apologize or making people who should be bad be good? Or make the characters clear. You're either a fucking jerk or you're not.
Yeah.
Don't make jerks apologize.
Nope.
Stupid.
All right. Blowing through this.
Mm-hmm.
I like Bayley with New Day.
Oh, yeah.
She just fits in there like perfect.
Oh,
that
God.
Was like fit like a glove.
So glad she's in the main
Loved
roster.
Loved it. I think Nia Jax is boring.
Yeah, for the most part.
I think
she got called up way too early. Too green.
Braun Strowman squashes for some reason really work for me.
They're one of my favorite things in the show right now. They're one of my favorite
things.
His
haircut makes him look, he looks like a different guy.
He somehow looks better.
Yeah, he looks a lot better.
And I love the theme song. Braun!
Yeah, that's cool.
Stupid.
They're just setting him up for a Lesnar match, feels like.
Hopefully, yeah.
Or like something.
Johnny Knockout loves big sweaty men. James Ellsworth has two hands. Love all the jobbers are great so far.
Dana Brooke's horrible.
I don't mind her. She's all right.
I think she stinks.
They're not giving her much.
Cool. Orton, Wyatt, they're setting up. I don't like this because Wyatt is like always, they need to make Orton look strong again, so Orton will 100% win. So it's another job for
Once
Wyatt.
Once again, I know. I don't know what they're doing with that guy. I haven't known what they're doing with that guy for like 4.5 fucking years.
Yep. But I'm liking Orton. I think Orton kind of like that match. I think Orton, I didn't think I could get excited about Orton again, and I'm digging him.
Yeah, I kind of like the controversial SummerSlam ending.
Yeah.
Plus that fucking cut that he took the head, oh my God.
It was insane.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll ask Vince McMahon about that.
Oh, please.
Yeah, Heath Slater white trash segment I found so unfunny and pretty offensive.
I loved it.
Oh, I hated it.
Oh, Rhino.
I hated it strong. I was just like, what am I watching here?
Rhino deserves an Oscar for all those crackers.
The cracker thing was very funny.
Oh,
Rhino was really funny
so
in that.
So funny.
But I also thought Heath Ledger.
I also thought Heath Ledger was dead, and he is.
I thought
rest
Heath Ledger
was dead.
I can't believe he popped up there in a segment. All right, you know what? I could pass on the Heath Slater segment.
That's fine, yeah.
And the tag tournament is cool on SmackDown. I dig it.
Yeah, if it's Simon Gotch got backstage heat, that sucks, because I hate that they're burying the vaudevillains, because I like them. I really do.
Yeah.
I like them.
And welcome back, Thrashers.
Headbangers didn't look too good.
They looked terrible.
Look too good.
Oh, yeah, the Headbangers. Thrasher's one of them.
Yeah,
sorry.
Bring back Beaver Cleaver.
Was it Mosh and Thrasher?
Mosh and Thrasher.
Great. All right, cool. So, look, Nick, I'm going to have to kick you out of here because the chairman of the board is excited to get in.
Honestly,
here.
I'll just sit off to the side and we'll let Vince come in because I'd rather just listen.
Yeah. Thanks.
I'll
remember to plug your podcast at the end, okay?
Sure, yeah. I'll come back when Vince heads out. And,
cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear from Vince. Wow. Everyone, welcome to the show. I mean, this is insane. Vincent Kennedy McMahon, the chairman of the board, is sitting right here in the Cal studios. Thank you for coming in.
What a studio!
Wow.
Dan Black, how you doing?
Oh, thank you for asking about me. I'm doing great. I'm so glad to have you in here because...
Good to be here.
Yeah, I know. Wow, you are wide.
Yeah, I'm a big man. I work out a lot. I was on the cover of Muscle and Fitness. You see that issue?
Yeah, I saw that issue. That's great. It's pocket. Is it in your suit jacket? Are you walking around with it?
That's two copies right there. Oh. Zig, you want a copy of Muscle and Fitness?
Absolutely.
From the early aughts.
Yeah. So anyway, Vince McMahon, can I call you Vince?
You can call me Mr. McMahon.
Oh, Mr. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Mr. McMahon!
All right, your audio is popping. You can't really scream into these microphones because I know, like, our equipment's not as advanced.
I prefer to clip.
Okay. Okay. Well, so you saw, I don't know, you saw what's going on with Daniel Bryan and Miz on Talking Smack, right? You saw the argument they had there?
What's Talking Smack?
You don't know Talking Smack? It's the...
I know SmackDown. Did you know that SmackDown just went live? We had a brand extension. We took Monday Night Raw, and we took SmackDown Live, and we took both shows, and we split them. There's now two different rosters, so you can tune in and see all of your favorites on Monday Night Raw. Favorites like... Who's on that show? My son-in-law, Triple H. You can see my daughter, Stephanie McMahon Helmsley. And all the wrestlers, sports entertainers, real ripped guys like Braun Strowman. You can see them all on Monday Night Raw. And then you can tune in the next night on SmackDown and maybe catch a couple of recaps from what happened on Monday Night Raw.
Oh, that's actually... Mr. McMahon, I'm sorry to interrupt you. That's not actually what's happening on SmackDown. SmackDown has a separate show with its own superstars. Now, I noticed you said SmackDown a lot lower, a lot less enthusiastic than you said Raw. Uh-huh. You're even having trouble saying it audibly when you're screaming everything else to Raw.
No problem talking about our Tuesday night show.
Yeah, it sounds like you're having a major problem.
That's your opinion.
Yeah. So yeah, but SmackDown's not. But it hasn't been recapped. I don't know if you've been tuning in, but it hasn't been recapped.
Oh, I've never watched it. I don't know.
Yeah, you have.
I hear it's good.
There's a right my, now AJ Styles. You know AJ Styles. He's the champion. He's going for the championship.
He's the Japanese man.
No, he's not Japanese.
Oh, he's a Japanese wrestler.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, he wrestled in New Japan and the Tokyo Dome. He was the leader of the Bullet Club.
Oh, don't know. What?
The Bullet Club. It's kind of one of the biggest things going in wrestling.
Again, this is all chicken scratch to me.
Yeah, okay. Well, he's having some great matches on SmackDown. It's a shame if you haven't watched.
He had a match with John Cena. Cena looked good. Cena looked real good.
Well, Cena, he lost.
Yeah, but he looked good.
Well, Cena always looks good.
Yeah, he looks great. What a physique.
In my opinion, it feels like maybe we should focus on some of the other talent.
Oh, yeah, like Braun Strowman.
No, you know, he's not really...
Ah, love him.
What, just because he's large?
He's a big guy. You know I like big guys.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, let's keep it... Yeah.
Let's talk about my shows.
Yeah, so there's Talking Smack is kind of it's actually a recap show of SmackDown show.
And all right.
Yeah, on there, Daniel Bryan. Do you remember who Daniel Bryan is?
I love Daniel Bryan, yeah. I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's done great things for our company.
Yeah.
I really think he's going to take to the next level.
It sounds like, to be fair, you weren't that into Daniel Bryan when he was coming up. Right?
I like him now.
You had him lose an 18-second match to Sheamus.
He's not wrestling anymore, so I like him.
Oh, you like him because he's...
I like him because he's not wrestling.
What was your problem with Daniel Bryan when he was wrestling?
Mostly his wrestling.
You didn't like his wrestling?
It just wasn't enough.
So anyway,
sports entertainment for me.
Okay. Well, I disagree. I thought he was terrific. Anyway, I'm sorry to disagree with you, Mr. McMahon, but so the Miz and Daniel Bryan got into a little bit of a spat.
Oh.
They got into a spat because Daniel Bryan accused the Miz of wrestling a soft WWE style match that he's not fighting like an indie wrestler,
you know? Those are the best kinds of matches. The best kinds of wrestling are soft.
I mean, I don't think the fans agree with that, right? I mean, Kevin Owens is the champion now. He wrestles a hard match.
Kevin Owens?
You don't know who? Kevin Owens is the WWE Universal Champion.
Oh, the Universal Champion. Have you seen the belt, Zig? Do you see that belt?
I have not seen the belt.
Oh, I love anything that reminds me of Eva Marie. When we were putting the belt together, I said, you know what I want the belt to look like? I want it to be all red. Everything! I want the belt. I want it to look like people are wearing Eva Marie all the time.
Well, that'll explain. I mean, people hate their belt because it's red. They think it looks kind of, I'm saying what other people are saying, stupid. They say it looks stupid.
Who said that?
It looks a little, the IWC, mainly.
Is that a root beer?
No, it's not. It's the internet wrestling community. It's the kind of the message boards, the Reddit threads.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The internet. You know what the internet is?
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, the online.
Yeah, online. Do you ever go online?
I've been on it. I think I got a couple of free hours left on my AOL disk.
AOL. All right. Look, I don't want to get into the technological aspects of it.
Best kinds of wrestling, soft. Best kinds of discs, floppy.
Well, that's a...
You heard it here
that's
first.
A very outdated hot take. So, I would say that you know, you just mentioned Eva Marie, and I guess maybe a little tangent here. You guys suspended her on the wellness policy for Adderall.
She needed a break.
She hasn't even wrestled yet. She hasn't even had one match.
It's a lot of strain.
I mean, I completely.
It's a lot of
disagree.
Pressure on her to deliver. I want to make sure when she goes out there, she looks good as possible.
Well, she looks great.
Yeah, she looks wonderful.
Yeah. Okay. So, the Miz, we want to know how much of the Daniel Bryan Miz argument was scripted. I mean, surely you're pretty involved in the day-to-day operations of the wrestling world.
Oh, like, everything on WWE programming goes through me.
Did you tell Daniel Bryan to call out the Miz like that? Are we being worked? Are we as the WWE Universe being worked? I need to know, Mr. McMahon.
I like to think that you're being entertained.
I guess that's true. I am being entertained. But,
okay, well, then we've done our job.
Well, do those two have actual spats with each other? An actual argument with each other?
Where was this argument at?
I'm talking smack.
Mr.
McMahon,
know.
It's getting difficult. I'm trying to explain to you your
I'm
program.
Trying to understand what you're talking about.
Okay, you know what, Mr. McMahon, you know, this kind of hits on the thing that's big on the internet, the IWC.
What's talking? Can somebody tell me what talking smack is?
Someone's whispering in his ear. A very young, attractive woman is whispering in Vince McMahon's ear.
Oh, okay. Got it. I think it's good.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to have the answer. You think it's good? That's what you're
saying?
Yeah,
I think it's good.
Okay.
If people are talking about it, it's good.
Okay. All right.
Press is press.
Okay.
Well, any publicity is public.
Listen, Mr. McMahon.
Icity.
Public Icity?
McMahon!
That really hurt my ears.
Sorry.
Could you stop yelling into the microphones?
McMahon!
Okay, I thank you. He's just screaming into the padded walls. I
appreciate
that.
Fire!
Who are you firing?
My assistant.
Oh, wow.
A new one just walked in.
Yeah.
She looks good.
Yeah, she looks a lot like Eva Marie.
Dan, this is Brianna.
Hey, Brianna.
Say hi.
Nice to meet you.
Say hi, Brianna.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. McMahon, I hate to be the one to say this, but it's a common thing that people believe, and I'm starting to feel it as well based on this interview.
Sure.
It feels like you might be a little out of touch with the current wrestling product and trends.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, I'm speaking to you.
Dan, do you work for the World Wrestling Federation Entertainment?
No, I. You know, it's a dream of mine. Actually.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
I would love that.
Would you like to come work for us?
Oh, that would be amazing.
I'm gonna make it happen, right here on your comedy podcast.
Well, are you kidding? Really?
I'm telling you right now.
That's incredible.
Dan, let's shake on it. We're shaking our hands.
Okay.
Shaking it right now.
All
right.
You're
on the show.
Oh, wow.
You work for the World Wrestling Entertainment.
That's amazing. What do I do?
Well, you could start by being fired. He's fired. And he just picked up a trash can. And he looks sick. Oh, he's gonna puke. Damn, Black. He's gonna puke. job.
Okay.
I hired you so I can fire you.
Okay.
You don't tell me what to do. I'm Vince Kennedy McMahon, damn it.
All right. All right.
You know, you don't work for me anymore. I don't have to listen to your notes.
Oh, no. Mr. McMahon, he's looping his catchphrases.
That's right.
All right. You know what, Mr. McMahon?
You had a good run, Dan.
I had a really short run. You really, you know, I'm a married guy. My wife thought I had a steady job.
Yeah.
I was texting her, as you told me.
Good.
And then you fired me.
Well, she's disappointed.
What about this? You're fired.
You can't do that. Only I can do that.
I can fire you from my podcast.
What is talking smack? I'm still confused.
Okay, you know what, Mr. McMahon? I think this is going nowhere. This is going nowhere. You know what? Thanks for coming by. Thanks for really shedding no light on the Daniel Bryan Miz situation.
It was a pleasure that you met me.
It was a pleasure. You know what? It was a pleasure to meet you. You're serious.
Yeah. Zig, I like you.
You're exactly what I expected.
I think I'm going to bring you in for a tryout.
Oh, thanks, Mr. McMahon.
Have you been down to the Performance Center?
I have not.
My friend Nick Ligger's down there. He looks good. He's got 29 waists.
Yeah.
Just put a couple more muscles on him and he'll be wrestling in no time.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Check us out on TV Monday Night Raw. Yeah.
Okay, you know what? All right. We're going to end the podcast, okay?
Good for you to be here. Take care, everybody. Let's go. Let's get the hell out of here.
Well, you don't end my podcast, okay? You might end my career at the WWE, but I can end my own podcast, all right?
Wow.
He stormed out.
That was Vince McMahon.
Yeah. No, well, Nick's back.
Hey.
All right, well, Nick.
That was fascinating.
That was not very informative, though.
I learned a lot.
You learned a lot?
Yeah.
What did you learn?
He has no idea what SmackDown or Talking Smack is.
That's for damn sure. All right, let's wrap it up here.
Hey, let's.
Everyone, let's congratulate Kevin Owens for the big win. Tune
Absolutely.
In. We're
going
to post our special, the UCB SummerSlam Tacular special. That's going to be posted likely this Monday. I'm not exactly sure of the date, but look for it. Look for it on the online.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
to rate and subscribe. Give this 5 stars. Write your wrestling thoughts in there, and we'll talk about them here on the
Just
show.
Just get on iTunes.
That's
Just
great.
Do it, people.
Nick Ligger, what do you want to plug?
Oh, guys, first of all, Dan, great to be here again. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you got to meet Vince. It was really cool.
Oh, yes, this is a dream of mine. Dream of mine.
Yeah.
Really wide. Really wide.
Yeah,
had a
super
lot of
wide.
Copies of his own magazine from 16 years ago. Guys, you can always find me online on Instagram, Twitter, at Nick Gligor, GLIGOR. I am indeed a co-host of the You Should Love Wrestling podcast. You can find us on iTunes, boardwalkaudio.com/YouShouldLoveWrestling. It's a fun show. Me and another comedian, Joey Clift, who's been on the show, try to convince our friend Steven Perlstein, who does not like wrestling, to like wrestling with the help of a guest. And Dan Black, you will be on that show very soon.
I'm very excited
You're coming.
To do it. It's going to be great. All right. Hey, follow us on Twitter, at COW Podcast. All right. Keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.